Challenge Cyber Defense.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. It's now.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going deeper than the usual headlines. We're really plunging into how a specific group operates, the Dragon Force Group.
Right.
And this deep dive is presented by the Cyber Intelligence Bureau. They're a division within the Orange Cyber Defense Epidemiology Laboratory.
Their approach is pretty unique, isn't it?
It really is. They don't just look at the technical side. They combine OSINT, that's open source intelligence, with human intelligence.
Yeah, looking at the human factors, the emotional drivers, cognitive biases, even the geopolitical stuff that shapes these cyber threats.
Exactly. It's about understanding the people behind the keyboard, you know? So our mission today is pretty clear. Get under the hood of Dragon Force. How do they work? What makes them tick? And what's their potential impact?
And that blend of OSINT and human is key. The digital breadcrumbs are important, sure. But understanding the motivations, the psychology, the politics, that gives you the bigger picture, much more than just code analysis.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning then. Where did they come from? The Bureau's work points to Malaysia, right? Around August 2023.
That's right. They emerged with a very clear pro-Palestinian stance initially.
And they weren't alone. They teamed up with others.
Yeah, early on, they allied with groups like T3 Dimension Team, Syntax Brute Code Malaysia. They ran campaigns together, like hashtag OpsPadel.
Targeting Israel, India, the UK. So starting as hacktivists, essentially.
Exactly. That initial focus, that ideology, it gave them a sort of foundation, a banner to rally under, you could say, even as things changed later.
Right, because the Bureau's analysis shows a big shift, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. This is where it gets really interesting. That political angle hasn't completely disappeared, but they've moved heavily into ransomware for money.
Using tools derived from some big names.
Yeah, Lockbit, Conti. They're using payloads based on those. So it's become this kind of hybrid, part hacktivism, part profit-driven cybercrime.
A complex mix.
And Malaysia seems to be their base of operations. The Bureau analysts suggest maybe a less strict legal environment that could be a factor. Location matters in this world.
Okay, so they had this hacktivist start, built alliances. How did that lead to what they're doing now? How do they actually operate today?
Well, the core strategy now, according to the Bureau, is this white label ransomware as a service model. Think of it like a cartel for extortion.
Ransomware as a service.
Right. Okay. Dragon Force provides the main infrastructure, the ransomware kits, which are customizable, by the way. They run the Dragon Leak site on Tor for dumping data. They provide admin panels.
So they build the tools.
Right. And then affiliates sign up, use the tools, carry out the attacks, and then share the ransom money back with Dragon Force.
Like a franchise operation for cybercrime.
That's a good way to put it. It really lowers the barrier to entry for attackers. Dragon Force handles the tech headache.
So affiliates just need to get in the door, basically.
Pretty much. Focus on the breach. Dragon Force provides the rest. It's a major evolution, really democratizing ransomware and massively expanding the threat.
But you said the old motivations aren't completely gone. That initial geopolitical slant still plays a role.
It does. That's a key insight from the Bureau. Money is the main goal now, sure. But because of their origins, they're still, let's say, predisposed to hit targets in Israel or its allies, government entities, strategic sectors there.
So it's financial opportunism mixed with a bit of lingering ideology.
Precisely.
And beyond those specific targets, who are they hitting for cash?
Oh, a wide range. Yeah. The report mentions retail, government institutions generally, finance, tech, critical infrastructure, basically any company with sensitive data they can leverage.
But they tend to avoid healthcare. The Bureau noted that. Any idea why? Maybe less ability to pay?
That's possible, but it's often thought that hitting healthcare brings too much heat. You know, massive law enforcement attention, public outrage.
Yeah. It
can be bad for business, even the illicit kind. Disrupts their own operations, maybe.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, the Bureau's analysis gets really fascinating when it talks about their vectors of influence and manipulation. This is where that human intelligence part really shines. They mention this ideological veneer. What's that about?
It's basically keeping up appearances to some extent. Even though it's mainly about money now, maintaining that political framing helps them.
How so?
It can attract certain types of affiliates, people who are maybe ideologically motivated and want to make money. It helps shape their image, their brand.
Speaking of brand, they're actively working on their reputation too, right? Making alliances, showing off successful attacks.
Absolutely. Reputation is huge in that world. Alliances with groups like Ransom Bay, Killnet, Anonymous Sudan, These are not small names. Mm-hmm. Associating with them boosts Dragonforce's profile, expands their reach, gives them access to more skills.
It's like networking.
In a way, yes. Illicit networking.
And underpinning all this is their RateOS platform. The tech itself is a big draw, presumably.
Definitely. Customizable tools, the infrastructure support. It's presented as a professional package. Makes it very attractive for would-be affiliates. It streamlines the whole nasty business for them.
The Bureau also points to more direct manipulation, social engineering, phishing, but also pretty intense psychological tactics on victims.
Yeah, things like putting up countdown clocks to increase pressure, threatening public data leaks, maybe even using deep fakes down the line. It's all designed to hit victims where they're vulnerable psychologically.
It'll trigger fear, panic.
Exactly. Make them feel powerless, increase the odds they'll just pay up.
Which leads us nicely into the Bureau's analysis of their emotional and cognitive intelligence, how they actually use psychology, not just on victims, but on their own people too.
Yes, this is really insightful. They apply these principles internally as well. To manage their affiliates, they use emotional levers, fear of getting kicked out or punished, shame if an operation fails, but also pride for success, fostering a sense of belonging.
So carrots and sticks within the group.
Pretty much. Negative reinforcement, like threats or public callouts, positive reinforcement, like recognition or bigger shares of profits. It's like behavioral conditioning and social learning applied to a criminal enterprise.
Disturbing. And how does that translate when they deal with victims?
It's even more direct there. They use classic persuasion techniques, you know, Cialdini's principles.
Like social proof, scarcity.
Exactly. They'll use social proof. Look, this other company paid us. Scarcity. You only have 48 hours before the price doubles or we leak everything. Authority projecting this image of being in complete control. Commitment, getting victims to take small steps towards negotiation.
Wow.
And they exploit cognitive biases, too. Like confirmation bias, making victims focus on the worst possible interpretation of the leaked data. The authority effect, making their demand seem absolute. Peer pressure. Others in your industry have faced this and paid. The goal is always to break down resistance, make payment seem the logical, maybe only, choice.
The Bureau also mentioned deceptive communication, what kind of things?
Things like flooding the victim with contradictory messages to sow confusion, or faking empathy during negotiations, trying to build false rapport.
Like a good cop, bad cop routine, almost.
Sort of. And potentially using neuro-linguistic programming, NLP techniques, things like anchoring, setting a really high initial ransom demand so a lower but still high figure seems reasonable later. Reframing the situation so paying seems like the simplest solution, creating confusion patterns to lower vigilance.
It's quite the psychological toolkit. And what about keeping their own group tight? The Bureau mentioned rituals and ideological hybridization.
Yeah, things like integration rituals for new members to build loyalty, validation ceremonies, maybe internally celebrating successful hacks to reinforce the group's purpose and success. And that ideological hybridization is key.
Blending the old politics with the new money focus.
Exactly. It helps justify what they're doing morally to themselves and their affiliates. It helps maintain cohesion in a group engaged in illegal acts.
Okay, so putting all this together, their evolution, their Reyes model, their psychological tactics, what does the Cyber Intelligence Bureau think is the most likely next step for Dragonforce? Where are they heading?
The most likely hypothesis is that being primarily money-driven now, Europe looks like a very attractive, very lucrative target zone for them.
They've hit the UK, Italy already.
Right. So the Bureau thinks France, for example, is probably high on their list. And they'll likely keep focusing on those high-value sectors. Retail, government, definitely critical infrastructure, finance, tech.
And the attacks. What would they look like?
Probably a continuation of this hybrid approach we've discussed. Advanced Reyes capabilities combined with sophisticated phishing, maybe AI-powered for better personalization. Using leaked ransomware code sometimes for initial access. And then applying intense psychological pressure deadlines, leak threats.
The impact in Europe could be pretty bad then.
Oh, absolutely. Because of that decentralized affiliate model, they can launch many attacks at once. It's hard to trace, hard to defend against comprehensively. It could cause widespread disruption, serious financial damage, and really hurt the reputations of targeted organizations across Europe. It's a systemic risk.
That's the likely scenario. But the Bureau also mapped out a most dangerous hypothesis, a worst-case scenario. What does that look like?
Yeah, the feared scenario is basically a large-scale, coordinated attack targeting European critical infrastructure directly.
Like power grids, transport.
Exactly. Energy, transportation, telecoms, key government services. Imagine ransomware combined with data extortion, maybe even elements of sabotage, all orchestrated through their affiliates, possibly using automated tools, maybe AI-driven, for speed and scale.
Which sectors are most vulnerable in that nightmare scenario?
The Bureau points to telecoms, energy, and transportation as prime targets. Hitting those causes maximum disruption, grabs headlines, creates chaos.
And how would they technically pull that off?
It would likely be a mix of methods. Sophisticated phishing to get initial access, exploiting known vulnerabilities in software, moving stealthily inside networks, using legitimate tools, that's called living off the land, or LOTL.
Using the victim's own tools against them.
Right, makes it harder to detect. Then deploying modular ransomware, maybe variants of LockBit 3.0, Ransom Hub, alongside tools specifically designed to steal large amounts of data quickly, all potentially automated and customized via their Ray-S platform and AI assistants.
The consequences, they sound catastrophic.
They really do. You could be looking at massive shutdowns of essential services we all rely on, huge economic fallout, widespread panic and loss of public trust, and just immense pressure on cybersecurity responders across Europe.
Okay, so let's recap. DragonForce started as politically motivated hacktivists, but they've evolved into a really sophisticated, financially driven cybercrime group. Their main weapon is this ransomware as a service model, but they amplify its effectiveness with some pretty advanced psychological manipulation aimed at both their own recruits and their victims.
That's a good summary.
And the Cyber Intelligence Bureau at Orange Cyber Defense sees them as a serious growing threat, especially for Europe, with critical infrastructure potentially in the crosshairs.
Yeah, that combination of financial drive and sophisticated manipulation makes them particularly adaptable and very dangerous.
So here's something for you, our listener, to think about. As these cyber criminal groups get more sophisticated, blending motivations like this, using psychology so effectively, what new defenses do we need? How does global cooperation need to change? Maybe, just maybe, understanding the human element is becoming the most critical part of cybersecurity. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. We'll be talking about it on this channel very soon.
Orange Cyber Defense.